personally express my appreciation to our pastor of worship, Pastor Otley, for planning this special service of Thanksgiving. Did I hear you say amen? It is a joy to pause and to give thanks. I need a hug. Mark 1, Mark being the second of the four Gospels, each of them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, being sermons, not stories, sermons based on the life of Jesus Christ. Mark has the most immediate beginning. In that from chapter 1 forward, there is no birth story, there is no background. In the book of Mark, Jesus is found immediately busy carrying out the mission. And so by the time you get to the 40th verse of the first chapter, we read, "Now a leper came to him, imploring him." The Greek word suggests begging him. "Kneeling down to him and saying, 'If you are willing,'" it is obvious he did not know Jesus. I wish y'all would pay attention for a few minutes. A human soul in need, and he asks the Savior, "If you are willing." "You can make me clean." Then Jesus moved with compassion. We'll come back to that. Stretched out his hand and touched him. We'll come back to that. And said, I love Christ's answer. "I'm willing. Be clean." Come on, somebody. How can you just sit there? How can you just sit there? "I'm willing." And what I like about the phrase is that both things were just easy for Jesus. "I'm willing," and "be clean." Neither took a lot of effort. We're dealing with the Creator here, y'all. Come on, somebody. "I'm willing," no problem. "Be clean," also no problem. My. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately, the word "immediately" appears five times in the first chapter. The leprosy left him and he was cleansed. You see, Mark's gospel is written in response to a growing feeling that God was becoming absent from the earth. It's one of the earliest of the gospels. And Mark is sending back the message that the God we serve, when he's ready, can do anything. Finish the sentence. Immediately. Y'all can sit there calm. I'm going to enjoy this. Immediately. When God wants to act, he can act immediately. And the thing about God is he needs no permission. He doesn't have to call a committee. Hey! He just does it because it needs to be done. And he does it right now. Immediately. The leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Now, the verbal expression "the leprosy left him" actually means, Chris, that when he said to the leprosy, "Be gone," the leprosy heard the Creator. And the text is actually saying the leprosy got up and got out of the way. Hey! The Master is talking. My name may be called leprosy, but his name is called Jesus. And when he says, get up, I get up. I get going. I didn't pray, did I? Let's pray. Father, help us in this sermon. Amen. Now, the text is full of hope. The next part of the verse gets a little crazy. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that thou say nothing. Now, folk, really, I mean, I don't know about you, but if somebody heals me of leprosy, don't ask me to be quiet. Don't do that. I got to tell somebody. Did you hear Tracy? Did you tell somebody? Did you hear Kathy? When something good happens, you're going to call somebody. Call your mama somebody. He tells this man whose flesh was hanging off of him, now has flesh like a baby. Go ahead. But don't call CNN. Just keep it to yourself. Hey, are you calling everybody? Come on now. But there's a reason. Go show yourself to the priest. Offer for yourself cleansing, those things which Moses commanded, as a testimony to them. Now, that's interesting. He wants the leper to go tell the preachers. There's a new sheriff in town. Now, why them? Because they won't touch a leper. Is anybody listening? Go tell them. Matthew and Luke both have versions of this story. Matthew makes it more interesting by placing the events that take place here right after the Sermon on the Mount. And I find that appealing to my preacher sensitivities, because it tells me that if this in fact happened right after the Sermon on the Mount, the leper who could not join the crowd listening to the sermon was listening afar off. Ellen White says that both Jesus and John had lungs of such power they could be heard 2 miles away. And so the leper heard Jesus, in my mind, preach the Sermon on the Mount, heard him say, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. He heard Christ say, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And maybe this is what encouraged him to approach Jesus. Are you listening to me? If he was able to hear these words, no one felt more persecuted than a leper who must walk the streets of the city crying, unclean! Unclean! He could not go to church. He could not touch a chair. He could not hold a hymnal. He could not arrive. Even for Sabbath school, prayer meeting was off the limits for him, because anything he touched was also made unclean. And so Jesus' words must have encouraged him. He also felt bad because he felt falsely accused. You see, you have to understand the circumstances of leprosy. It was believed that this disease, this dread disease, was the result of some vileness in the spiritual life. So the leper was a double outcast. His disease made him a social outcast. People ran when they saw him. His disease made him a spiritual outcast. The last thing in the world he expected was to be touched. But what he really needed was a hug. In the book of Mark, the sermon on Jesus is a gospel sermon. Mark is attacking and drawing out into the open all the old mores and turning them over. He's glaring at them and exposing them. In the book of Mark, watch me now, in the book of Mark, he's announcing that the devil is being taken on directly by God. And I find it interesting that in the very first chapter, in the very first chapter of Mark, there's the healing of a leper and there's the casting out of a devil. And so Mark's announcing, there's a new day. Heaven has come down to earth. Miracles are taking place. God is not separated from us. If we need him close, he comes close. Come on, somebody. That's the message from the book of Mark. Leprosy is the most dread disease of the day. It was cancer and AIDS rolled into one. Leviticus 13 gives you some feel for the dread disease. In Leviticus 13, if you were thought to have leprosy, you had to appear before the priest. Verse 5, if you were suspected, you were cast out of the camp for 7 days. And can you imagine those 7 days waiting to find out? I remember, Tracy, when I was taken before the doctor and they announced that I had prostate cancer. You know, that word cancer, folk, that word cancer, my whole life, I'm 66 years old, my whole life passed before me. You don't want to hear that word. Now a person is brought before the priest and he's suspected that he may have leprosy. He must sit outside the camp for 7 days, waiting, wondering, hoping, praying. And after those 7 days, an investigation by the priest, then another 7 days, so 14 days, waiting to get the final diagnosis is what the leper of the ancient days went through. They had all kinds of leprosy in those days, leprosy of the garments, leprosy even of the house. It was a dread disease. And when a person was announced to have leprosy, either in their garments, leprosy in the mildew of their house, leprosy in their body, that meant instant separation. That's important, Dr. Deshay, to get a clear use of the word leprosy in the Bible. Here's what the Bible Dictionary says. An analysis of the various symptoms discloses that the term leprosy was evidently used in a more general sense than it is today. In fact, the physicians have determined from reading Scripture there are at least 7 different diseases called leprosy in the Bible. Most of the symptoms found in chapter 13 were actually described as that skinned ailment we know today as psoriasis, rather than the true leprosy, or Hansen's disease, as it is sometimes called. And so there is in this one chapter, chapter 13, lepra vulgaris, or psoriasis, lepra tuberculosis, which is arising in the skin, lepra anesthetica, which is numbness in the nerves, leprous malacosa, marks and streaks. All these are in this one chapter. And those last three, the lepra tuberculosis and the lepra anesthetica, is and the lepra malacosa, all of these are a form of this one leprosy called elephantiasis graecorum, or modern leprosy. All this is in that one chapter. And it was so dread because they were out in the wilderness and it could spread so fast. Any form of leprosy, no compromise, out. But here's what happened over the years. Because the priest was involved and all these rules were established for dealing with it, as time went forward, people forgot about the fact that there was actual disease. And so leprosy was immediately in Christ's day associated with sin. If you were a leper, you had done some terrible deed. And nobody would touch you. Leprosy is a very fearful thing. In its advanced stages, it presents a loathsome sight. Dr. Deshay, sitting right here in our congregation, a member of our church, is one of the most outstanding Adventist physicians associated with the dealing with leprosy. The nose, the fingers and toes atrophy and drop off. Eyelids disappear. Sight is lost. The person takes on a monster movie type appearance. The voice deteriorates. The voice box disappears. The breath becomes so oppressively foul to the point that you can detect the person breathing yards away. The joints are dislocated and engulfed by tubercles and associated with the disease. And as if that is not enough, it is accompanied by patches of necrotic flesh. This is gangrenous flesh all over the body. And last but not least, then the hair, the tongue, the palate are sometimes consumed. Leprosy is a fitting symbol of sin. Follow me. As leprosy takes the normal and attractive and radicalizes it into an almost unrecognizable remnant of the original, thus does sin take an innocent baby. And the child grows in sin inch by inch and curse word by curse word and TV program by TV program. Whether it be wrong kind of food or the wrong kind of friends, sin takes that innocent child, and if someone is not careful, that leprosy in that child grows into a liar, a rapist, a drug addict, an agnostic, not even believing in God. The disease, and the thing about it is, we contract it at birth. Born with leprosy, shapen in leprosy. And Satan, knowing we are born with this dread disease of sin, leprosy, works on it to spread it until by the time you're an adult, you're consumed by your own sinful desires, and the breath of your praise is a reproach to God because he knows you do not mean it. Your leprous feet go to the bar. Your leprous eyes watch pornography. Your leprous ears listen to gossip. Consumed by the disease with no escape. And now, because of the leprosy, nobody comes here to planet Earth. Nobody touches us. We need more than a touch. The planet needs a hug from heaven. Entire lives are infected with the gangrene of selfishness and the soul's rotting decency marred by the gray patches of excuse-making and promises often broken. Oh yes, leprosy is a fitting symbol of our sin. The leprosy is ostracized. And the leper is sent forth. 2 Kings 15:5. He's not allowed in society. Numbers 5, 1 through 4. You know what's amazing to think about it? We live on the only planet where there's sin. I've told you, that's why I don't believe in unidentified flying objects landing here. Nobody's coming here. They've heard about us. We rob, we steal, we cheat, we lie. They're not landing here. If they're going by, they say, hey, We're the ostracized planet in the universe. Folk, this is the only place in the known universe where there's sin. We're all lepers. Everybody on this planet needs a hug. couldn't come to the sanctuary. 2 Chronicles 26:21, had to wear torn clothes that the leper could not wear. He had to wear torn clothes so people could see afar off he's a leper. He had to let his hair grow long. That was the law. So you could see afar off, here comes a leper. And then with the torn clothes, the hair long, the foul breath, then he had to cry out, unclean! See, picture it. You better be glad for the mercy of God. Otherwise, you'd have to walk the planet. Rapist! Rapist! Liar! Liar! Pornographer! Pornographer! Thief! Thief! You ought to give God thanks right now. Tithe spender. So he could not keep it secret. Even if he didn't have the outside signs of leprosy, he had to cry out and tell it. But because of the grace of God, he lets me be covered on Sabbath morning with the robe of his righteousness. You don't know what mistakes your pastor may have made during this week. I don't have to cry out unclean, because if we were honest, we would walk in this church every Sabbath saying, unclean, unclean. I'd have to stand up before I preach and cry out, unclean. But God covers us. Give God glory. Give God glory. And so at the end of chapter 1, we read these words. This unthinkable act of Jesus. He touched him, the Bible says. Splagnathesis. Well, before he touched him, it says he was moved with compassion. You see that? Verse 41. Compassion comes from a word that means for your innards to jump. Compassion means that you have been so moved by somebody's condition that your organs move. And so when the Bible says he was moved with compassion, that's literal. When Jesus saw this man, his guts moved. And Ellen White explains that Jesus was moved because Jesus knew he could fix him. See, the pain, watch me now, the pain of Jesus is knowing he can fix you, but you won't ask him. Knowing he's got the answer, but you don't seek it. Knowing he can deliver, but you like being in jail. And so sometimes when Christ sees you in the condition you're in and the plight you're in, his whole insides move and are shaken by your condition. It's time for the church to stop using the church as a cover for our desperate need. The church is not a place for you to come and pretend that everything is all right. Here in these pews, you can cry out, I need help. We come and we pretend, we pray, we posture. We act like it's all hurting inside, torn up, messed up, and won't tell anybody. We'll not even come down to the altar and ask for help. Don't pretend in here. This is where Jesus fixes you. You can come here and say, I'm hungry, I got no food. I'm short of money, I need help. But not just material things. You can come in this place and say, I'm afraid. I'm desperate. I don't know what to do. I need prayer. Stop coming here and pretending to be righteous. This is the place for the lepers. In fact, I would declare unto you that when you walk in church on Sabbath morning, you are announcing your disease. Otherwise, why come? And so the entire insides of Christ are pulled and tugged. Ellen White says, Desire of Ages, page 266, the work of Christ in cleansing the leper from his terrible disease is an illustration of his work in cleansing the soul from sin. The man who came to Jesus was full of leprosy. The leprosy was cleansed. Thus it is with the leprosy of sin, deep-rooted, deadly, and impossible to be cleansed, but not by God's power. Isaiah describes this, chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in us, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Let me say what you already know. The first step to getting well is admitting how sick you are. But it's the next word that really tears at my heart and excites my soul. He touched him. It is the word ekateno. It does not mean touch. Ooh. It means to lay hands on and grip and hold. I want you to get the picture. A man comes into the presence of Jesus. The crowd steps back. Maybe a lip is half gone. Maybe the nose is half gone. Maybe an eyelid is missing. His breath smells like a cesspool. He's dragging a foot. His clothes are ragged. He's not had a bath in God knows when. And everybody draws back. It would have been enough for Jesus to speak. But the man did not need a speech. It would have been enough for Jesus to touch that man. But sometimes a touch can be impersonal. I got glory today because Jesus stepped from the crowd, moved up to the broken man, put his arms around him, inhaled his stinking breath, and gave him what I need. I need a hug today. And Jesus gave this man a hug. He hugged him. He hugged him. You hear me, Mikhail? He hugged him. He hugged him. Surely it was unheard of. You don't touch a leper. Hug him? No way. You might get the disease. But I done read my Bible. The chastisement of my peace is on him. By his stripes I am healed. He took my leprosy. Wore my leprosy. Forever shall have in his being human flesh. And so Jesus now is practicing up because he knows down the line Henry Wright is going to need a hug, not just somebody to touch me. Sometimes at night when I'm praying, I feel the arms of Jesus. He touches me, holds me, talks to his chest, and tells me I'm his own. I need a hug. I just need a hug. I don't need no speech. I don't need no text. I just need you to hug me. I need you, Shorty, to let me know it's all right, Pastor. I know you're human. I know sometimes you make mistakes. Sometimes, folk, we do too much talk. Just walk up to the person who's not been in church for a while. Hug them. Keep your mouth shut. They don't need a speech. Just hug them. Walk up to that wife whose feelings you've hurt, my brother. Don't keep on saying you're sorry. Just hold her close and let her feel your sorrow. I need a hug today. Sometimes I just need a hug. That's all. And may this church be a church where a person can get a hug.
Shackled by a heavy burden, neath the load of grief and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me.
Hallelujah. To be sure you have the picture. Jesus grabs him. And while he's holding him, his nose comes back. His toes become normal. While Jesus is holding him, his breath gets sweet. Are you listening to me? See, Jesus don't mess around. And now I'm going to take preaching liberty. I got a feeling, Chris, that when Jesus got done, his raggedy clothes were sewn up. Hey! His shoes look brand new because my Lord does not mess around. When Jesus got done, it was all right. The people couldn't believe it when Jesus let him go. Where's the leper? Where is the leper? When we go marching in through the gates of the city, the universe will cry, where are the lepers? Where are the lepers? God has cleaned up planet Earth. There are no more lepers.
Blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout.
Are you going to lead us in the chorus? Everybody standing, sing the chorus with her. He touched me.
He touched me.
I need to hear you. I need to hear you.
Oh, he touched me.
Come on now, saints. You can do better than that. Lift this song up. And oh.
And oh, the joy that floods my soul.
Talk about it. Something happened. Talk about it. Come on. Playing. Hallelujah. 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 If you're indeed with me, thankful for the touch of God, will you just raise your hand with mine? Let's just wave that hand toward heaven. Touched. Hands are down. Father God, thank you. Because now we know it was more than a touch. We got hugged. Jesus gripped me. Held on to me. I know now. Nothing about me intimidated him. My foulness, my incompleteness, my inconsistency, my lack of dependability, he grabbed my leprosy and held it. Maybe you've been resisting the call of the Spirit. I can't let you walk out of here today and not give you a chance. You've been thinking about becoming a part of this church. Maybe you need to study. Maybe you want to come forward for baptism. Or on this day you celebrate by coming forward to transfer your membership, becoming a full part of this family here. Saints are standing. I pray that many of you are praying. If you can respond to one of those three appeals, Bible study, baptism, transfer, could you just move from where you are and come down front now? Even the balcony is not too far to come. Church, you're praying. Let's see if anybody will come. Larry, bless your boy.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
God bless you, man. I know you're happy, child. Are you coming, young lady? God bless you. God bless you. Somebody else?
I'm so filled up. This precious man has been coming to this church ever since I came here. God bless you, Larry. I've been praying for you, man.
Woo! Carol, I hope you're watching. Larry Bailey came down. I'm sorry, folks. I got to shout. Somebody else? Somebody else? Lord, you have.
You have filled my heart. This gentleman and this precious young lady, but all of us, Lord, thank you that you stepped beyond the safety of heaven and came to where the lepers live. Woo! And you didn't just touch us, because that wasn't enough. Sometimes what I feel so bad about myself, a touch just won't do it. I need a hug from heaven. I need a hug. Thank you today. In Jesus' name. And all the people said amen. Please be seated. Are you thankful?